The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, what is this about a barbecue just outside in the parking lot?
There has been a rumor.
This is the hottest day of the year.
Well, you know how some folks claim to fry an egg on a sidewalk when it gets real hot? Well, here in Tucson, we're going to just cook some hot dogs without any flame.
In fact, my in-studio guests, I haven't told them yet, Tim Steller and Joe Ferguson from The Star, that there will be grilled hot dogs as a little bit of a bonus for you guys after your appearance here today. Does that sound fairly good to you?
Yeah, well, I was thinking we could just get one of those, get a stick and hold it, stand in the shade and hold it out in the sun, and it'll be blistering before we know it.
There you go. Anyway, Friday we do kind of a big shout-out to some of our media friends who support us. Dylan Smith, thank you, Dylan, for your work with TucsonSentinel.com, and, of course, Dan Scheer at the Green Valley News and Saurita Sun. And the Tucson Media Group, they've got a whole portfolio of papers, including Tucson Weekly. That's Jim Nintzel, editor over there, Inside Tucson Business. So there's some of our friends who support us by prominently displaying the Buckmaster Show logo, which makes it really nice because you can just click on the logo. And we've got 99%, Joe Ferguson, of every show we have done here since January of 2011, including the Thursday interview during that week with Gabrielle Giffords, her last interview before the tragic shooting.
Wow, that's interesting. I'd like to listen to that.
Well,
what was going on at that time? Issue-wise, before it would have been January 4th, 2011 or something, right?
Probably
would have been the 6th.
We went on the air at Monday, whatever, that would have been the 3rd, and so she was on the 6th. It was 2 days before the shooting. I don't know. We were talking, I believe, about we may have been talking about immigration.
That's always a good bet.
So
the drought, maybe.
You know,
need
you might
for rain, two perennial
it's
issues.
Easy enough for you to find. Just Google on my website, buckmastershow.com, put in Gabrielle Giffords, and you'll find it. It's there. Anyway, we've got Ken Bennett on our live line, former Arizona Secretary of State, and he is now a Republican gubernatorial candidate challenging Governor Doug Ducey. Mr. Bennett, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well, and I see here...
Well, how do I get my hot dog through the telephone here?
We'll just squish it in those little holes.
We've got a hot dog for you, Ken. I see that Governor...
Hi, Joe, and hi, Tim, by the way.
Yeah,
hello.
There you go.
Hey.
Governor Ducey says he will not debate you. And what did they say? His spokesman called you a fringe candidate, despite the fact, as far as I remember, you were elected Secretary of State in 2010. What the heck's going on?
Well, I think they don't want the governor to have to defend his record in public against somebody who knows the truth. And they aren't, I don't think it has anything to do with me being fringe. My goodness, I started out on a city council in Prescott, later served on in the state legislature, was president of the Senate, and then, as you mentioned, 6 years as Secretary of State, and got elected statewide in 2010. So I think it comes down to, you know, Ducey said a lot of things when he was running for office 4 years ago. Many of them he has not fulfilled at all, and he does not want to have to defend his record in public. I'm running because the truth matters, and there's aspects of, I think, his record that they don't want to have to defend.
Hmm. Go, if you would, go on with that, because I was totally missed. By the way, this is Tim Steller. I was mystified when you ran, because I have the general impression that Republicans are pretty happy with Doug Ducey, and it just really surprised me. So if you would, explain, what are these things that you think he merits a primary challenge?
Well, he ran on balancing the budget and paying down our debt and really getting the state's fiscal house in order. He won't admit it, and nobody really talks about it, but the total debt of the state of Arizona today is about $1 billion more than it was 4 years ago. Most of that is in the state employee retirement systems, but the state is not making enough of a payment every year to keep up with the liabilities in the state retirement system. And so the total debt of the state of Arizona has grown by about $1 billion in the last 4 years. He told us he just passed his budget with the 20 for 20 for teacher thing without raising taxes and without accounting tricks and gimmicks, but they did raise taxes. They raised the vehicle license tax by almost $170 million, far more than is necessary to pay for the Department of Public Safety, the Highway Patrol Department, like they said it was for. And then they're sweeping money out of the vehicle license tax to help pay for the teacher salaries. They increased hospital health care prices and costs around the state by about $55 million to draw down more federal funds, and that would then allow them to free up some other state funds that they could move from one bucket to another and rob Peter to pay Paul and make that money available. They told us 2 years, the governor himself told us 2 years ago that if we would pass Prop 123, which he was the champion of, to take more money out of the state land trust, that Prop 123 was going to put $350 million of new money, additional money each year, into the K-12 school system, and that most of that would go to teachers. Neither one of those has proven to be true. It's barely been about $175 million. He knew when he made that statement that there was already a formula in law, and that Prop 123 would increase the formula, but it was not all new money. I don't think there's any evidence that most of it went to teachers. And perhaps worst of all, they told us that Prop 123 would not take any money out of the principal or the corpus of the state land trust. And yet in the first year after they took, or after 123 passed, they took $170 million out of the principal of the trust fund. That $170 million, now gone forever, will cost the schools across the state of Arizona $120 million every 10 years for the next forever. So it's just one after another. I mean, I can remember being at luncheons or on phone calls where he would say one thing, and he told us he was going to reduce state income taxes on Arizonans to as close to zero as possible, and they've not made one iota of change.
All right. Let's bring in Joe Ferguson into the conversation from the Arizona Daily Star. Go ahead, Joe.
Ken, you're talking about tax increases, and it seems to me that you're opposed to it, but you also say that we need to be putting more money into the pension system. How do you do that?
Well, you do it with careful budgeting and making sure that every dollar that we do take from taxpayers is spent effectively and efficiently. When I was Senate president from 2003 to 2007, when I started, the state's rainy day fund or its savings account had $13 million in it. When I finished 4 years later, it had $1.1 billion in it. We had some good fiscal years in 2005 and 6 when the economy got very healthy and more money came in than we had budgeted to spend. Governor Napolitano at the time. So this is a Republican legislature and a Democrat governor, and usually she wanted to spend, you know, the any and all extra money that came in, but we were disciplined and we made sure that we put that money in a rainy day fund. We rebuilt the rainy day fund from, as I said, almost zero, $13 million to over $1 billion in the rainy day fund and ending cash balances. But during those 4 years, we also did the largest tax cut in the history of the state of Arizona, but we also put the most new money into K-12 education. We had the state retirement systems at 100% funded. Now they're below 50. It's just a matter of being very careful as you budget. I've been a private businessman for over 30 years and know how to, you know, to run budgets in the private sector. But I think I proved as president of the Senate with a Democrat governor that we can work together and, you know, save money, live within our means, pay down debts. And so it's just a matter of discipline.
All right. Before we continue on, and we'll do this right after the break, I want to tell people about Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's Danish Bakery is the Buckmaster favorite, and it's the home of the Danish Kringle, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's Danish Bakery with those wonderful, oh my goodness, baked breads. Joe and Tim, do you like bakery goods?
Oh, yeah.
I want to go to Mona's.
Yeah, well, you need to go to Mona's because right now they are serving lunch, and I guarantee you the sandwich that you choose will be accompanied by wonderful bread that came out of the oven just a few hours ago. And if I may suggest for your dessert, how about one of those luscious chocolate brownies? So... But we have hot dogs here at the station as well.
Oh, yeah,
but
so we'll have to head over.
We may have a hot dog here and then head over to Mona's. Anyway, more on Mona's at buckmastershow.com, a link to Mona's Danish Bakery and all the fine sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Former Secretary of State Ken Bennett stays on the live line. We've got a lot to talk to him about. How does he feel about Donald Trump? That will be one of the questions that Tim Steller will probably want to lead off with right after the break.
All right, no, let's do it.
Or something like that. Let's break. Okay. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday during the noon hour, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Dr. Don Jorgensen. Also, David Safir, who writes about education for the Tucson Weekly. It's Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. It is the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition. Former Arizona Secretary of State Ken Bennett is with us. Mr. Bennett is challenging in the Republican primary Governor Doug Ducey. With me in studio, both of these gentlemen work for the Arizona Daily Star, at least the last I checked. Tim Steller, a columnist for the Star, and Joe Ferguson, writer, political writer, and has been covering, city. You were covering the city this week, right? He's covering everything.
Yeah,
so. All right. Tim, why don't you begin with Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, sure. I was perceiving, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. Are you presenting yourself as the Trump supporting the most MAGA candidate in the Republican nomination campaign for governor?
Well, I'm running for governor, Tim.
Yeah, but I mean, where do you stand? Are you saying that you're the...
I support President Trump. I voted for him in the primary. When there were 17 people early on, I'll be honest and admit that I had leanings towards one of the others first, but I voted for Trump by the time the primary occurred in Arizona. I think he's doing the things that will make our country great again. I think he's, the economy is booming. I think he's doing things that will protect businesses and jobs by pushing for fair trade. I think he's moving in the right direction of controlling our border. I think he's moving in the right direction on getting us energy independent. He doesn't do everything the way I would do it, but he does it his way, and I think he's doing the right thing.
Do you think the governor has been, Governor Ducey, that is, has been insufficiently supportive of President Trump?
Yes. I believe that we have Obamacare still, even though Ducey and Senator McCain both campaigned to repeal Obamacare in 14 and 16 for the senator when they had the opportunity to make a difference, and we ended up with a thumbs down vote from the senator. He told the public that he, weeks before he made that vote, that he was going to vote the way the governor of his state asked him to, and even as he left the floor of the Senate, he said that he had done so. Even Ducey and McCain both tweeted that, yeah, they want to get rid of Obamacare, but this wasn't the way to do it. But that was the one fundamental time that we had to and come up with something better. So I believe we have Obamacare, for example, because of Ducey telling McCain to vote thumbs down on the repeal. So I believe that the governor has not been as supportive of the kinds of things that I think will move our country and our state forward.
Joe Ferguson from The Star.
This week we've been seeing a sea of fake bots online supporting the governor. So what do you make of that? Is the governor running scared?
I think the governor is trying to create a perception that is not reality, and they have now been discovered to have created all these fake Twitter accounts or LinkedIns or whatever, and every time I do something, they come out with several people, dozens of hypercritical responses, and now we find out that it's probably one or two guys sitting in a room making it all up.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to go back to something you said before the break, which is talking about the budget situation or the state's financial situation. Now, you credited yourself and the leadership of the time with building up the state's rainy day accounts. But, when it came time, less than a year after you left as Senate president, I mean, essentially the state's budget fell apart. We were cutting, I think, more than $2 billion in spending.
But first what happened, when I left, the budget was structurally balanced, $9.5 billion coming in from tax revenues, $9.5 billion going out. We had $1.1 billion in the rainy day fund and ending cash balances. And with all due respect, Governor Napolitano, I think, took a risk and increased the spending in 2008 by $1 billion a year. And then when the economy went down and we had kind of a 10% recession, it wiped out the rainy day fund in a matter of about 16 months and plunged the state into the biggest financial crisis we've had. It's taken us a decade to get out of that crisis. And
So I
watched in horror after I was term limited and had left the Senate. I watched that horror movie starring Janet Napolitano, and I think we just saw the same remake starring Doug Ducey, where he suddenly, you know, he told the state for months earlier this year that there's no way the state could afford a 20% raise for all teachers across the board. And then in a matter of 2 days in the middle of April, he went from saying that to, okay, let's do a $1 billion increase over the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, but
and that's really the straw that broke the camel's back for me as far as getting me in this race is, how are we going to pay for it?
Well, okay.
And now he's using all these accounting tricks and gimmicks and counting on a couple of months of better-than-expected revenues a few months ago and counting on those just going on forever.
So when you were, when Janet Napolitano was governor, you referred to her as the star. I mean, you could have been the best supporting actor, though. Couldn't you have been in leading, you know, she wanted to increase tax, increase spending.
I wanted to decrease taxes. No, I was not there. I was not there when...
Okay, but in the 6 years before, but through that period, she was increasing spending, and you were pushing for decreased taxes. So it took both to put the state in a precarious enough position to have the downfall we had in the recession.
When I left, we were balanced. When I left, we were balanced, and we had $1 billion in the rainy day fund. After I left, she increased spending by $1 billion, and that's exactly what the governor just did. And the rest of the state, well, I guess his office. A lot of people in his governor's office also got 20% raises over the last several months. But the rest of the state is going to have to live on bread and water because of this budget that they just passed and the accounting tricks and gimmicks that they did. We had eliminated all those accounting tricks and gimmicks by the time I left in 07. And it was a different set of legislators that passed her last two budgets, Napolitano's, that is, in 08 and 09 that put the state in this crisis.
Would you consider a cut in the, speaking of $1 billion, the over $1 billion prison industry? We spend over $1 billion in the state on prisons. Would you consider cutting some of that if possible?
I'll look in every aspect of state government to be more efficient with the dollars that we spend. But we've got correctional officers, the thousands and thousands of men and women that are our guards that work in our prisons, that have not had a pay increase since 2006 or 7 when I was there as president of the Senate. And so we've got some of our prisons where we've got 30 to 40, sometimes close to 50% vacancies in our employee positions because of the low wages and the lack of pay increases that they've received. So yes, we'll look for every opportunity in every state agency to be more efficient with our dollars. The governor said, you know, he was going to come in and save all this money, streamline state government. The very first year, I had to laugh. The first year he streamlined state government, he said, we got rid of an entire state agency. It was the Department of Weights and Measures. It's not a big agency. It only has a budget of about $3 million. But they eliminated the department by name and moved it over to another department, the Department of Agriculture. They saved $3 million by getting rid of the department by name. They moved it to another department and added $4 million to that department's budget. So I'm glad he didn't do any more streamlining of state government that way because, in my opinion, we went backwards.
My friend here, Tim Steller, in his column today was polling, spoke with elected officials, how they weighed in on the family separation. Tim, how did Governor Ducey weigh in on that?
Oh, well, he said that he sympathized with those crossing the border but did not appreciate the fact that they were putting their children in harm's way by coming and doing illegal things near the border. I contested that what they were doing,
okay,
whether it was illegal. But anyway, yeah, that was his broad position.
So let's find out what Ken Bennett thinks
about
that.
Yeah, sure.
What do you think about that?
Well, if people cross into our country illegally, they need to be apprehended and returned to their country as soon as possible. If they're doing so as families, that needs to happen whenever possible as a family unit. But a lot of these young kids are getting separated during the miles of crossing Mexico, I assume, and so it's not as easy to do as we'd like to say it. We'd like it to happen, but if people want to come into our country, they need to come in the front door. And the principles of being good neighbors between countries are the same as being neighbors on a street. A good neighbor calls ahead, shows up at the front door, you welcome them in, they have dinner or you watch TV or play games or whatever, and then they go back out the front door and go home. They don't hop the backyard fence, break into your garage, and live out of your freezer. Nor do they drop off your kids at the front porch and expect you to watch them for a few weeks or months or whatever. So whenever possible, when we apprehend people coming into our country in family units, we need to return them as in family units.
Now, you'll be alone, I guess, for a scheduled August 1st debate because you are a clean elections commission candidate. So that means, I guess you'll get, what, a half an hour on probably Channel 8, the public TV station, to answer questions.
If the governor will not debate me, then it might take that form, I guess. But I think the people of Arizona deserve more from their sitting governor than somebody who won't defend his own record in public against a valid, legitimate challenger. And I think the people deserve a choice. He and his campaign went to great lengths to try to keep me off the ballot. They tried to bribe people that were helping us collect signatures. And fortunately, those people did not take the bribe and continued to collect signatures for us. We got on the ballot. They then challenged our signatures last week in a lawsuit and pushed it all the way to the very end yesterday. And then when it was obvious that they could not disqualify enough signatures to keep me off the ballot, they withdrew their own lawsuit, and as of now, we're going to be on the ballot. And people in the Republicans and independents in the Republican primary in August are going to have a choice, and I think it's a shame if the governor won't stand and defend his record at a debate or anywhere else.
So it was you were involved with that running for governor 4 years ago. Do you think now that the consolidated support, when you look at the folks that ran against Ducey, would those numbers add up when it's just a head-to-head race?
I think that's going to be a huge difference between 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
4 years ago, there were seven announced candidates. The governor got barely a third of the vote in the primary, but the other two-thirds who wanted somebody different than him split amongst the other five or six of us. And, you know, a little over a third of the vote won. This time there's going to be two choices. It's one-on-one, and now he has a record that he has to defend, which I don't think he wants to have to defend. And I'm going to point out the truth to people, and I'm going to give them a choice. And I think it's going to be a much different dynamic with two of us in a race instead of six or seven.
And how do you think that your support is right now? How do you gauge it?
Well, I gauge it as very – I don't have enough money to – pay for polling or things like that, but I gauge it as very well given the lengths to which they're going to not debate me, try to keep me off the ballot, try to disqualify my signatures and get me off the ballot after I got on the ballot. So now we're on the ballot, and the lengths to which they're going to not have to debate us and not want us on the ballot tells me a lot.
All right.
And I'm encouraged by that.
That's going to wrap it up with Ken Bennett. Do you have a website that you would like to give out?
Yes, www.kenbennett.com. Bennett's with two N's and two T's. And right now we're collecting the $5 contributions under the Clean Elections Program. There's a button on there where people can do the $5. Each $5 qualifies the campaign for about $210 of funding from the Clean Elections. It's not taxpayer money. It's fines on criminals and things like that. So please go to kenbennett.com, give us the $5, and we're also asking for what's called seed money, which in addition to the $5, people can also give up to $160.
All right.
A different button for that. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you very much. Ken Bennett with us on the Buckmaster Show now. We'll take our break. Tim Steller and Joe Ferguson with me in studio. We've got a lot to talk about after the break. Be right back. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
the Humane Society of Southern Arizona's new location is open at 635 West Roger Road. Come fall in love with our pet-friendly cafe. Check out our giant cat habitats or meet a new dog friend in our doggy play yards. You can also bring your pet in for their vaccinations or spay-neuter surgery at our new state-of-the-art clinic. Come see all that we have to offer you and your pet at 635 West Roger Road. The Humane Society of Southern Arizona, saving your future best friend.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for six new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's now the Friday roundtable portion of the hour. And of course, if you missed a portion of the program, we re-air our program on Saturday morning at 7. Joe Ferguson is here from the Arizona Daily Star. And also from the Star is Tim Steller. Tim, I mentioned during the interview with Ken Bennett about your column today, kind of which elected officials took a stand on the whole family separation issue. You were giving out pass-fail grades. Can you articulate a little bit on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I thought, so what I did in the column was I decided not to bother with Democrats because they were largely similar, although there were some variation in their degree of commitment. So I just dealt with Republicans because it was harder for them to take a stand and braver for those who did take a stand. And obviously, I come from a position that I think immigration is complicated, but family separation is not. I've shown in columns it was a policy choice that the Trump administration was considering all the way back February 2017. It preceded the whole concept of zero tolerance. So I thought that it was a clarifying issue, a gut check, and that's why I decided to rate them on a pass-fail. Like, did you pass? Did you finesse the issue and therefore fail, or did you make a clear statement or take clear action against it and therefore pass?
Who failed?
Well, let me see. Who did I mention? I just considered six people who were high-ranking in Arizona politics. So,
Congresswoman McSally.
So Representative McSally, yeah, she was. I called it a failing grade because she tried to finesse the issue. And same with Governor Ducey, who I thought misunderstood the issue, or either deliberately or accidentally, and also tried to finesse it. And then I also mentioned Steve Christie, who I think misunderstood.
Board of Supervisors,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I don't think he understands what
it's all about. Allie Miller and Steve Christie voted on that resolution, voted against the resolution that came before the board.
You didn't actually give Allie a fail, but you would have.
Sure. I mean, but it's almost, I would have, right. But the point is that she has she's very pro-Trump. She's become very, I think, anti-immigration. She would probably say anti-illegal immigration, but there's a lot to discuss there. She made the white pride statement. I think we know where she's coming from, so it's not really even worth thinking about that.
And, of course, that was really a significant meeting, wasn't it, the Board of Supervisors meeting?
It was
this
a
week,
big meeting, so, yeah.
We had
transportation
the roads,
on there.
Right.
They went up, they talked about a sales tax that was shot down by Miller and Christie, and then they have now a new one where they want to talk about $500 million going into roads here in Pima County over the next 5 years.
We had Sharon Bronson on the day after that, and I was trying to say that the opposition is already forming, led by Allie Miller.
Oh, I expect she'll be full-fledged against it.
And I believe her, as she has referred to it, her bond buster, his name is Mr. Beauregard. I think that's right. I'm not exactly sure, but he led the charge against the county's bond.
Oh, no. Hogard or something was his name.
Anyway,
Mr. Hogard. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the bond buster.
Right.
So he's lined up. Anyway, let's go to Carl. Carl has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Carl.
Yes, on the immigration with the families, it's going to be interesting to see how that breaks out, because the Ninth Circuit has ruled that you can't keep children in detention. And, I think it's after 20 days.
Right.
And so if the families are still in detention because they have violated the law, especially the ones who had made multiple or been deported multiple times or who have criminal records, what do you gain with that? What are you going to do with those particular children? Are you saying that we should just let everybody that comes in with a family be released with a letter to show up what is it, 80% of them don't show up on those?
So I think I get where you're coming from here. There's so many different categories of people. People who have previous deportations or a criminal record, they're not going to have any chance, even if they have kids. They're going to be sent back because they're the easy cases. The ones that are presenting the most difficulty are those who are requesting asylum, either at the ports or between the ports. And there's a lot of them. So that's really where the main question is right now. And you're right. It's a 20-day limit right now. The Trump administration is going to challenge that in court, as I understand. And they are trying to set up family detention for longer periods than 20 days. But it seems like what happens after they are rejected, which is the likely scenario, is going to be the tough question.
Okay. Thank you, Carl, for joining in the conversation. As far as the city bond election on parks, Joe, you were covering that this week, $225 million bond sale for city parks. We had the new parks director, Mr. Dennis, on the program this week, and he's got his work cut out for him. How are they going to sell this?
They're going to sell it as they haven't had a chance in over a decade to put money into it. Parks are overcrowded, and there are some great plans that are just sitting on shelves getting dusty, and they just needed money for it. So they're saying that they won't raise your taxes, and they can put $225 million into parks throughout the city. There'll be linear parks, they'll reopen pools, they'll have more ball fields. The latest I've heard is that over 100 parks would be touched by this $225 million bond if approved by voters next fall.
What does it cost as far as taxpayers?
Well, for property tax homeowners, it would just continue the tax. The rate would stay exactly the same for the city's secondary bond. The county is making the same promise, so that could be good news if you're not looking for, some kind of rate stoppage. But you know, there are still five or six other taxing entities that are on your property tax bills that are not making the same pledge.
Hmm. So do you think there will be organized opposition to this? Who's going to be saying, I don't want to see the parks improve?
Well, it's hard to say, but I mean, we saw people come out against dogs and cats a couple years ago when we had the pack bond.
That's
so
true.
So you could see people come out against it, but it's so early that it's hard to tell. But, you know, I'm with Tim. I expect that there will be organized resistance on the county's bond.
Hmm. Well, I know there will be on that one because Allie Miller is already kind of
leading
the charge on that. You know, does not want this. She actually proposed her own budget at the meeting.
She did.
Yes. And alternative budget.
She was going to slash the county communication department by half. Mm-hmm. She was going to cut $1 million out of courts. She had a plan that was a one-pager, but no one had seen until that day. And so it got shot down very quickly. The chair chastised her for grandstanding, and then Chuck essentially said that he believed that at least portions of her plan would be patently illegal.
Hmm. All right, let's turn to politics again. Well, this is all part of politics. How about the congressional candidate Ann Kirkpatrick? She will be on the ballot. There was this challenge that was led by Dr. Matt Hines.
Yeah, it was a big challenge, and while the judge favored the Kirkpatrick camp, it really did kind of show interesting relationship Kirkpatrick has with here in town. So voters are going to have something to talk about. And a lot of them already were, you know, suggesting that she was a carpetbagger. And this kind of only adds to that narrative.
What do you think, Tim?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it was an effort by Matt Hines, aggressive effort, as I talked about in a column, to suggest that she's a carpetbagger. Yeah. And I think he succeeded in raising that idea, and I don't think he's wrong. I mean, I think she did, you know, come to town to run for an office. That's the definition of a carpetbagger, right? Now, she has strong local supporters, powerful local supporters, I should say, former Congressman Ron Barber, former Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. That whole that whole political group has, you know, sided with her. So it's not as if she doesn't have strong local support, but hey, she did come from out of town when she arrived here.
But part of the reason is that she also has strong national support.
Sure, yeah. The institutional party wants someone with her name recognition and experience on the ballot.
Yeah, when you get seven candidates on the ballot, you know what it comes down to. It is name recognition, right?
And the Democrats are set up for a good fortune in CD2 this year. I mean, it's a district that Hillary Clinton won by what, 5%?
5 points.
Yeah, this is strong. They favored her over Trump by a lot. And so clearly there was something in the McSally-Hines matchup last time that turned voters toward McSally. And without her in the race and without a McSally-like candidate, at least so far, dominating the Republican race, Democrats are set up for a good run. Depending on who they pick, of course.
Let's see if we can work in caller James, who's been waiting patiently. Go ahead, James.
Yes, it's mainly directed towards Tim. I'm just curious about, you know, all the thing about the children in detention when this has been going on during the Obama administration for, I guess, nearly his whole term. And I've heard numbers as high as 90,000 kids in detention, and people like former Speaker Nancy Pelosi speaking positively about the detention center she visited, you know, this is some years ago, but now all of a sudden it's become an issue. And I think it's quite manufactured timing with the IG report on the FBI, you know, finding all this bias, even though the IG concluded the FBI investigation was unbiased, even though it's like a duck, you know, they say it quacks like a duck, it flies like a duck, it floats like a duck, but there's no bias.
Well, look,
it's 560 some pages of this report on the FBI, and meanwhile we have this flap about children.
Well, so okay, let me answer that. You've said a couple things there that I think are pretty clearly answerable. One is why wasn't there more outrage during the Obama administration? And you're right that it's been more now, but I was reporting on it then, and I've gone back and looked at the headlines. If you do a Google search on Obama, children, detention, migrants, that kind of thing from that era, you'll find there were a lot of stories, a lot of protests about that. Not as much as now. The big difference is that there was a policy that started informally last year and then became formal in May of separating people who arrived as families, that is separating parents from children. That was not a policy during the Obama administration. What they were doing, they were receiving a lot of unaccompanied children. And though I understand some family separation occurred, there was no policy and it didn't happen on as big a scale as it is happening now. Now, this was a deliberate policy announced or discussed as early as February 2017. It was put in place formally in May. It came to, you know, fruition or became a widespread phenomenon at the end of May, early June, which is when the IG report came out. Now, you can say it's deliberate. I don't think it's deliberate. I mean, I think a lot of people find this to be a repugnant policy, and that's why it caught on the way it did.
All right, just about out of time. What's coming up in the paper this weekend? Anything you guys want to plug?
I think it's just going to be blank pages, right, Joe?
I think that we've got some coloring sections for people this
right.
year.
Okay. We should do that. No, we got a bunch of stuff. We got some stuff on the same border issue as always, and I'm going to be working on a piece about the high-rise developments that
we didn't get a chance to talk about that. The 20-story...
I
want to know more about that.
Yeah. So, Speedway and Campbell, 20 right. stories. That's unprecedented.
I'm not alone. A lot of folks want to know more about it. Joe, anything you want to plug real quickly?
I need to talk about the Spino Canyon trams. They're going out of service in the hottest part of the year, starting in July 1st.
Wow. Eesh. All right. Guys, have a great weekend. There's hot dogs for you up at the front desk for you before you leave. Thanks. Great.
Thanks.
All right. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for Weekend Watch. When I hear that music, Dan Gibson, I'm ready for the weekend.
I was ready for the weekend a long time ago, but it wasn't taking the music.
Yeah, it's been kind of a rough week for some people, but always great to hear Friday, the Weekend Watch theme, brought to us by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They are the sponsor of Weekend Watch, and please visit their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete list of places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson, it's an easy sell this time of year, and you know this kind of thing because you're in the tourism business. It's an easy sell for Silver City because what they're selling to Tucsonans when you've got an excessive heat watch like this weekend is it's 10 to 15 degrees cooler over there because of the elevation.
It's what we do to Phoenix, you know.
Like exactly.
It's 14 degrees average cooler in Tucson in the summer.
So
someone's doing it to us. It seems poetic.
There you go. So
somewhere someone's doing it to Silver City too.
Yep. I'm sure they're, yes.
Taos, anyway, New Mexico is running ads in Silver City.
Exactly. So anyway, give Silver City a try if you want to escape the heat. It will be cool over there, and especially at nighttime. It's such a beautiful place. Dan Gibson is in from Visit Tucson with us in studio. Great to see Dan. He's filling in for the vacationing Matt Russell.
The man of the permanent vacation.
Yeah, well, Matt Russell. he goes wherever he can find a good meal.
That's fair. That's reasonable.
And this time,
I saw that he was hanging out with his father.
Yeah, and it was really cool. Yeah. In upstate New York, and I think they were in Montreal, and I think they're at a wedding this weekend in Toronto. They're like on the go. Anyway, first day of summer is here. We had Kathleen Erickson from Downtown Tucson Partnership yesterday on the show, and she showed off this beautiful booklet of all the activity. Who says nothing goes on in Tucson in the summer?
No, quite a bit. There's really a lot. I mean, it was funny because you kind of think, well, I'm going to find like two or three things to talk about. There's, 10 solid. There's a ton going on this
weekend. Go for it.
I'm only, our website, visittucson.org, has a calendar. You can always look up stuff there. Mm-hmm. Top of my list this Saturday, Tap and Bottle, their downtown location, is celebrating its fifth anniversary. This is the most predictable thing for me ever to promote. But the Saffords are lovely human beings. They've created it's really centered to the craft beer community in Tucson. They're at 6th Street and 6th Avenue. Noon to midnight this Saturday, there's going to be a limited edition can release, a beer they made with the people at the shop, DJs, mariachis, a talent show at 7 p.m. with prizes.
Wow.
There's karaoke at 9 p.m., giveaways all day. It should be a lovely time. I'll be there. You can hear me sing a Steely Dan song probably around 10 p.m. I don't know if that's an encouraging or a discouraging, but, still.
Which Steely Dan song?
I was singing Kid Charlemagne.
That would be really cool. Yeah. Very cool. But there is a huge craft beer following in this town. Is that safe to say?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I a lot of places have craft beer, but we have a great community around it as well and great places to get a drink.
Give us another one.
On a totally different note, so you got that Saturday. How about Sunday?
Okay.
It's El Dia de San Juan Fiesta. It is
the traditional
beginning of the monsoon season.
That's right.
It is the birthday of St. John the Baptist, but it's also this incredible celebration. Starts at Mission Garden at 6 p.m. There's a procession from Mission Garden to the new Mercado St. Augustine Annex. The events are from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. There will be food trucks, snow cones. The community food bank is selling like all these fruit desserts, which should be really a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Celebrating the renewal of the Sonoran Desert. And if you have not been to the MSA Annex, which is such a cool one of those container park type things, mm-hmm. lots of great stuff there. Westbound, which is actually an offshoot of Tap and Bottle, a vegan burger place is open.
Very
some
cool.
boutiques, a lot of fun stuff happening there. And free.
I'll take one real quick one if you got it.
Saturday, also during the day, the Hassan Bach Saguaro Festival. It is saguaro fruit harvest season. This colossal cave will be celebrating that from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is free. presentation, storytelling, Native American arts and crafts, hikes. You can plant your own saguaro and take that home with you.
Okay.
If you are really ambitious, they're having a workshop at sunrise, which is $65, and you can actually go out with the Tohono O'odham people and harvest saguaro fruit and take a jar home for yourself.
And I had the Tohono O'odham people on the show earlier this week. The queen of the night, the cactus blooms only, one night a year?
Yes.
It may be this weekend, so keep an eye out for that.
Their Facebook is really good for
that. It really is. So we got a lot going on. Dan Gibson, always a pleasure. Thank you, sir, from Visit Tucson.
Pleasure is mine.
All right. Thank you, Tom, very much. Tom Fairbanks, my engineer producer. Also, thanks to everybody here at KVOI for their support of the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dan Gibson, Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Try to stay cool. Be safe out there. It's going to be a very hot weekend. Have a great weekend.